Okay. So, just a little bit of the background. I've been working with Mrs. Averman for a while on the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, and through our learning, an idea came up about the Ikrasa de Mashiach, which is the time period called the end of days, the footsteps before Mashiach, the heels, and some ideas that we were discussing kind of inspired a series on the topic, because what I feel, and I think that the sentiment of the people who kind of heard the call for this class, this series, is that we're in a unique time period right now, and it requires a certain honing of our abilities to be able to focus on what we need to do now. I decided I want to put together what I feel is a little bit of a number of different things, some background, a little bit of developing the foundations of, what we mean when we say Ikrasa de Mashiach, just give it a context, the end of days. It sounds very intimidating, but at the same time there is a certain excitement. I want to create a context, give it a little bit of a historical context, give it a little bit of a Torah context, and I would like to then discuss some of the things that Chazal tell us about what this time period is going to be like based on our tradition and the Nevi'im and things that we have written and recorded in our teachings and Mishnayos and in the Gemara and in Midrashim and various things. And then over the course of this series, what I would like to do is I would like to start trying to kind of develop within this context of understanding what we mean when we say Ikrasa de Mashiach and what Chazal tell us about this time period and some of the key messages that they taught us that we need to know right now, try to develop a little bit of a strategy for ourselves that we can all kind of apply and know that we're doing it as part of the spirit of what Hashem would want from us in this time. We're not just winging it, we're not just making things up, but that it should really be coming from a place of, solid foundation, a solid framework that we know where we can turn to, we know that there are sources, we know that even the wise men of today have pointed us and given us these directions and these explanations and these ideas and encourage us to focus. So that's kind of like the long and the short of the evolution of where this idea for this particular series came from. And I see day in and day out, I just see, in my dealings where I teach and who I come into contact with and within my community and in the broader world, that this is so desperately necessary. It's so crying out to be something that we should be working on and focusing on, not necessarily at the cost of all the good things we're doing, but hopefully in order to be able to do what we're doing with more accuracy and with more zeal, knowing that it really does fit with the time. So given that, I'm going to introduce just basically the topic by saying this, that Rav Dessler writes in the Michtav Meliyahu, he has a little piece there where he's talking about the idea of Zmanim and the Galios. He's talking about the exiles, and he asks a very interesting question. He says, why do the Chazal and the Midrashim, why do they teach us all about the different exiles, like the Greek exile and the Roman exile and the Babylonian exile? And they spend time like trying to categorize and characterize the different exiles. And also when it comes to Zmanim, we know that Chazal gave names to the time, if it's Pesach, Zman Cheruseinu, Zman Matan Taraseinu, Zman Simchaseinu. So he, in dealing with this question, he develops an idea, which I think is even a preliminary to starting this series, which is, he says the following idea. You cannot compare a person who understands and is aware of the unique quality of time and the opportunity, the unique quality of the opportunity of the time that he's in to someone who does not. And what he means to say is as follows. The Torah, as we know, it's one of the 13 principles of our faith, the Rambam defines. The Torah does not change. It will not change. You cannot add to the Torah. You cannot take away from the Torah. The Torah is Nitzchi. However, given the fact that the principles of Torah and the principles and the laws of Torah and the ideas that are part of our tradition are unchanging, nevertheless, in a certain generation or in a certain era or during a specific type of historical challenge or in a zman, like a yontiv, there are unique opportunities. So we're always keeping Tarayag Mitzvahs. We're always living as Torah Jews. And, you know, we put on our tefillin and we daven and we keep Shabbos and kosher. And we've been doing that for thousands of years. And we will continue to do that for thousands of years. And nothing is going to stop and change the fact that we are the Jewish people. We have a Torah. The Torah is Nitzchi. However, within that framework of keeping Torah and Mitzvahs, certain unique times and certain unique eras and certain unique historical contexts require an emphasis, a certain frame of mind, if you will, and an emphasis on certain aspects of the Torah and Mitzvahs, not to the expense of others, but again, to characterize and show that we realize that there's a time, there's a unique opportunity in this time. So, for example, he says, in the Greek exile, when the Jews were struggling with Hellenism, so even though they kept Tarayag Mitzvahs, but there were certain aspects of Tarayag Mitzvahs that they realized these things are more central, these things are more necessary to emphasize right now in order to overcome this challenge. So they almost became like what they call, you know, the Tzav HaShaah is a language that's used. It's the command of the hour. It's what we need to focus on right now. Not again, you know, Judaism is a very balanced religion, the middle path that the Rambam talks about. And we, of course, understand that anytime we're emphasizing, we know it's gonna somewhat change our relationship to the whole, but it's necessary to focus and emphasize certain things in order to make it through. And I think that's kind of like the preliminary idea that I'm trying to capture when talking about Ikfasa de Mashiach, this period of time that we are now in, this historic Tekufa, as it's called, time period that we're in now, which is referred to as the Ikfas of the Mashiach, the end of days. That's where we're at right now. So, you know, there are, given that we have this formula, this idea that when we're in a particular time, there are certain things we need to perhaps give a little more focus to, perhaps that encapsulate the essence of what we're trying to accomplish with everything we're doing. I would like to do that in relationship to the ideas and the concepts of Ikvasa de Mashiach, which is now. Now, the next step, the next thought, which I, you know, I'm going to kind of weave a little bit of a tapestry and then kind of create the context. So the next thought is that, you know, are we in Ikvasa de Mashiach? How do we know? So I'll say, you know, I'm not going out on a limb on this point. You can all, you know, research this for yourself. The Chafetz Chaim wrote many Svarim, Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. He wrote many Svarim and Kuntresim and various different things. One of his Svarim is referred to as Tzipisa LeYeshua, which is the title is actually taken from a Gemara that talks about how when a person goes for the final judgment before Olam Haba, they're going to ask him, one of the questions they'll ask a person is, Tzipisa LeYeshua, did you anticipate the coming of the Mashiach, the salvation of Am Yisrael and of the world? Did you anticipate that when you were alive? That's one of the, they're going to ask, Kavata Itim LaTorah, did you set time to learn? Nesata V'Nesata Be'amunah, did you do your business dealings honestly? And Tzipisa LeYeshua, yeah. So there's other questions as well, but one of the questions is: did you anticipate the coming of the salvation? So the Chafetz Chaim chose those words, Sipisa Yeshua, as the title for a book that he wrote specifically about this topic. And he goes through, in the first chapter or two chapters over there, in his time already, this was, the Chafetz Chaim is already, not now, we're talking already 70 years ago, even more, he goes through and he says, all the things that Chazal told us about what it's going to be like when this period of time called Ikvasa de Mashiach will arrive are all happening right now. They're all here. He goes through one by one by one and shows that it's now. It's started. It's here. The Chafetz Chaim, there's in addition to that, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, who was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, but a massive goyin in his own right, has an entire kuntres, about 40 or 50 pages, called Ikvasa de Mashiach, where he goes through, again, establishing that it's clear to us. These are great Gedolei Yisrael of the previous generations who have already established for us, unquestionably, without it's immutable. We are in this time period. That's not up for debate as far as we're concerned. This is the Ikvasa de Mashiach now. Just in order to broaden it a bit, Rav Cook has extensive writings about it as well. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, as it's known, was very prolific about writing and speaking about the topic. Also in the different streams of Hasidic thought, it's very much written about, discussed. The Satmar Rav has a mimer and a long dissertation on Ikvasa de Mashiach, talking about the different simanim and now in his time. And so, my point here is I'm not talking about factionalization right now. I'm just speaking in a broad sense. There is an overwhelming consensus, no matter what stream of thought you come from. In the Jewish world today, we are in this time period. That's a fact. And so, it behooves us, I feel, number one, because of what Rav Dessler says, to weave these two points together, that when a particular time or when a particular inyan comes to be at the forefront, we need to learn up, so to speak, what's the idea, what's the way, what's the points of emphasis that we need to focus on. That's one. And two, weaving that together with the fact that we have a consensus that this is the Ikvasa de Mashiach, I feel that all the more so it now behooves us more than ever to get clear. What do we mean when we say the Ikvasa de Mashiach? What are we talking about? And what do we do? What are we meant to do? How are we supposed to handle? What are the ideas? What are the specific messages? That's kind of like the introduction. So, in speaking about this concept of the Ikvasa de Mashiach, first of all, the word, when I say the words Ikvasa de Mashiach, for those who I don't know everyone's full background, so if I'm speaking below or above anyone, feel free to pipe in and let me know if I'm not translating words that you need translated, or send me an email if you feel I'm talking too basic, whatever. But my goal is not to just speak, but to try to address specifically the questions and the issues and the needs of the people that are joining the Chabura. So the words Ikvasa de Mashiach is actually an Aramaic phraseology. Ikvasa, Ayin Kuf Beis Tuf Aleph, is an Aramaic word that corresponds to the word Ikvos in Hebrew. And the idea is that it's a word that has some different possible meanings. Heal, the word akev is the word in Hebrew for heal. So the word heal comes to mind as a connotation, which we would need to explore. And also the idea of ikvos also has to do, since the heel or the foot is what we walk with, it has to do with steps. Taking steps, the connotation of the footsteps or the steps leading up to Mashiach, Ikvasa de Mashiach, So we're talking about the heels. We're talking about the footsteps leading to the Mashiach. And therefore, when we try to explore and define what this is, first of all, there, you need to know that there's a pasuk in Tehillim that uses the words Ikvois Mashiachecha, David HaMelech. It's in Tehillim chapter 89, Kapitel 89. These wordings, Ikvois Mashiachecha, are used. So already we're talking about Tarsh B'Ksav already coins this phraseology, and Chazal themselves use this term Ikvasa de Mashiach to define or to describe this time period, which is leads up to the coming of the Mashiach. But it's not the Mashiach, it's the steps again, the period of time in history, which is before that. In other places in Chazal, there are also terminologies used like Chevle Mashiach, the birth pains of Mashiach, which it also would be connected to the time period of Ikvasa de Mashiach, but why use the phraseology Chevle Mashiach, which is the birth pangs of Mashiach, is perhaps to describe a certain aspect of this time period, which is, and to give us the imagery or the metaphor that we could use from our world that we are familiar with to have a sense, is just like the birth pangs are, you know, a certain pain and a constriction that creates a force against the baby coming out, which then allows through the push, that's what creates kind of like the effect of wanting to push more to get it out, so that Chevle Mashiach is very sharp, defining very sharp constrictions, tsaros, difficulties, challenges that are against us as Jewish people, which cause us to respond by pushing forward, which is the idea of, again, trying to give birth to this new reality. And we have all of the imagery and the metaphor of the process of birth, considering the process that we're in now as having not just being the end of days, which has such an apocalyptic feel to it. It's so intimidating. It's so scary. Chevle Mashiach and also Ikvasa de Mashiach, the terminologies that are used, tend to imply more of that, yes, it's a period with tsaros, but there is a purpose. There's a point to it. It's not just stam suffering for no reason because, you know, we're bad, or, you know, we're on a low level, and, you know, we're just, that's what you get when you're like that. So, you know, magia lanu, it's coming to us. That's not true. This is a specific time period. It represents the end of a process, which then kind of gives birth to a whole new reality, a whole new order of events and of changes in the world. And so, when trying to have a sense of what we're talking about in this time period, we're talking about a time period which is painful. We're talking about a time period which is, you know, carries within it all of the residual leftover work and responsibility that and difficult challenges that Klal Yisrael has to do and has to accomplish in the world that have been kind of like just, you know, the previous generations have not gotten to, or have pushed to the side, or have failed in, it all still has to get done. So there's like this, there's this heavy-duty residual remainder of work to be done that falls squarely on the shoulders of these last generations of people, of Jews. But it's not just all bad. It's not just all brimstone. There is also the fact that this is part of a process. It's painful and challenging, but it is going to be giving birth to a whole new reality. Now, the word Akev, the heel, specifically, when we speak about the heel, there's a very interesting concept that's discussed by different Mefarshim in terms of why they chose the word Ikvasa de Mashiach. So the Akev is actually an interesting thing. First of all, the Akev represents, you know, you talk about Achilles' heel. The heel is the lowest physical part of the human body. It also is the part that connects us most to the physical ground underneath us. And in a certain sense, Therefore, the Akev represents the lowest of, you know, the different parts of the body. And in a certain sense, there is this reality that today in our world, we're more connected and more attached as Jewish people to the physical reality of Gashmius around us than any generation before us ever was. And in many ways, that's part of what is causing for us such a deep, deep challenge. We're just completely engrossed, swamped, attached directly without any buffer or barrier between us and it, the raw, unharnessed, just, overwhelming power of the physical world and its pull on us and our attachment to it. And for us, that is, as Jews who are trying to live at a higher level of consciousness with a higher standard, keeping ourselves, you know, connected and doing and being good, it poses a unique challenge. It poses an overwhelming challenge in many ways. But on the other hand, and this is kind of like the duality of this time period, is that the heel also, in a certain manner, is the most important part of your entire body, because without it, you would not be able to stand. The entire structure of the human body rests upon the heel. Without a heel, we would fall over. We would have no ability to stand or to move or to go. We would be broken and fall from within ourselves. So in many ways, this time period called Ikvos, the heels, though it is on one level we're very connected to a low aspect of creation, we're also generationally, being the last generation, we are the heel. We are supporting on our shoulders all of the previous generations. And in doing what we're meant to do in this generation, in these times, we are actually, in many ways, completing and what's called in Hebrew being mamid, standing up all of the work of the previous generations. And so we have a unique opportunity to, though our time period that we're in is challenging, to bring completion, bring closure and completion to that process that all of our predecessors had been working towards. And so, you know, we have, again, within this time period, a unique opportunity with unique challenges. Now, I'd like to speak a little bit. I'll take some questions if anyone has right now, but then I'll speak a little bit about what Chazal have to say about this time period, things that they foresaw, they brought from the Nevi'im that will categorize or characterize this time period. So any questions till here? Okay. Is everyone still here? I don't hear anyone. There's just somebody pipe in if the call is still going.
No, we're here. It's wonderful.
Okay, fine. Okay. So I'm reading right now from a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in the very, very end of Tractate Sota, where it writes in the Mishnah as follows. Be'ikvasa de Meshicha, in this time period called Ikvasa de Meshicha, chutzpah yazge. Chutzpah will abound. There will be an abundance of chutzpah in the world. Rashi translates Ikvos HaMashiach besoif hagalus lifnei bias HaMashiach. At the end of galus, before bias HaMashiach. That's this time period. That's where we're at right now. So chutzpah will increase tremendously, will be abounding. V'yoyker yamir means that there'll be tremendous inflation of the prices. Hagefen tachas piryah v'hayayin b'yoyker. There'll be grapes laden on the vine, but wine will be very expensive. U'malchus tehafech l'minus. The leadership will turn to minus. The ein teicheches, there'll be no way to rebuke them. Beis vad yiel is nus. The beis vad, Rashi says, shel chachamim. the Beis Vada of the Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, Yihu Leznus. Rashi says, Yihu LeBeis Znus. Shekalu HaChachamim Ve'ein Loimed Torah. There'll be less and less Chachamim, and there'll be less and less people who are really learning Torah. V'yehei Cherev Me'ein Ish. So, continuing back in the Mishnah, so the Beis Vad Yiel is Nus, that what that means is that there'll be less and less leadership in the Chachmei Yisrael, and right, because, and it will be because they will, the potential leaders will have turned away towards lower pursuits. Vagalil Yecharev, the Galil of Klal Yisrael, right, of Eretz Yisrael will be in a state of destruction. Vagolan Yashum, also the Golan. People who live on the border towns will have to move away from one place to another. And they'll have no rest. And no one will give them chain. No one will grant them grace. The chachmas soifrim tisrach. The wisdom of the wise men will be despised. The yirei chait yimasu. People who fear chait will also be belittled in the eyes of the world. Va'emes tehei nederes, truth will be stored away in flocks, is the way it really means it'll be hidden, but I'll show you from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it means that it will be, the truth will be split and spread amongst many different factions. Narim p'nei zekenim yalbinu, young children, young boys will embarrass their elders. Zakenim yamdu and mekatanim. Old elders will have to stand in front of the katanim. Ben menav el av. A son will disgrace his father. Bas kama beima. A daughter will stand up against her mother. Kala bechamoisa. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oyeve ish. Anshe beisoi. The enemies of a man will be his own spouse. Pnei hador ke pnei akelev. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. Haben eno mizvayesh me'aviv. A son will have no busha from his father. Ve'alma yesh lano lehishayin. What can we rely on in this time where you can see it's just from every side, from every angle, every aspect of life is just, you know, unraveling. What will we have to rely on? Alavinu shebashamayim. That's it. We will have nowhere to turn. We'll have no solutions. We'll have no way of solving these problems but turning to Hashem himself, Alavinu Shebashamayim. So over the course of the series, what I would envision is after giving, you know, kind of like a general overview, we could start going into more of some of the ideas of what do these things really mean. And, you know, how can we learn within every one of them to be Soimech Al Avinu Shebashamayim, and what does that mean, and how do we do it? And, right, just, but before, you know, before, I'm just giving you a sense right now of what it says. There's also a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when it says Chachma Soifrim Tisrach, it also says that Torah Mishtakachas Meisrael. Torah will be lost. Torah will be forgotten. Now, obviously not completely, but the sense of just like I we spoke about this, I think, in our other Chabura, we spoke about today this confusion, this lack of clarity, the fact that, you know, there there will be people who are very thirsty. Yeah, the Navi says that there will be a thirst and a hunger for knowledge, and there'll be no one to provide it. There won't be an outlet. And we see this today. We see that all these things in various different ways are all playing themselves out. They are here. They have arrived. We have some Chachmei Yisrael, but we don't have as many as we need. And we have less than we had in previous generations. There are people learning Torah, But the quality of the learning and the clarity of the learning and the overarching influence of the learning is lesser. There's more yeshivas, but there's less learning, I hate to say it, unfortunately, in our generation. And I'm not trying to take anything away, God forbid, please don't misunderstand, anything away from those who are actually accomplishing in this generation. We'll speak about that eventually. But these are just realities. There's a burnout here. There's a reality of Kaisel just struggling with the reality of the world around us, the difficulties and the challenges, and all the values, the parental respect, the concept of a child gaining their identity from their parents and accepting the values of the parents and wanting to aspire to continue in that, and the whole chain of the Masorah. Just open your eyes, and unfortunately we see, you know, there's blogs everywhere with nothing but fear of Aminus and people, you know, spewing out their who are Jews, who come from homes even, you know, their anger, their frustration, their loss of interest and concern and of anything that represents good values. It's all over. It's rampant. And this is the characterization of the deep challenges of this time. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Rabbi Yochanan was quoted here in the Gemara as saying, let Mashiach come whenever he'll come, but I don't want to be in that generation before he comes. I would not want to live then. Let him come whenever, but I don't want to live in that time period. Which is a tremendous insight if you think about it. You know, we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was of the greatest and most complete chachamim of the Amoraic period that we know. The level of neshama, of radiance that he achieved and that he became in who he was that of similar to Rebbe, who was similar to Yaakov Avinu, who was similar to Adam HaRishon all the way back. He had reached an extremely high level. We're talking about a person who is unfathomable in our terms and definitions, who said, let the Mashiach come, but I don't want to be there. I don't want to live in that generation. So what would that mean to us? We are here. We have to live in this generation. So, you know, are we supposed to then wake up in the morning and say, ugh, I don't want to live in this generation. I can't. I don't want to deal with it. It's not for me. I'll just forget it. I don't want to have to do this. I can't handle it. It's too much pressure. It's too hard. Right? How should our attitude be? Rabbi Yochanan is expressing a certain knowledge that he has that this time period is going to be extremely difficult. So it's we're granting here that we realize that there is a certain difficulty, there's a certain thing that we could come to despise about living in this generation, and it would be understood. It would be understood, just like Rabbi Yochanan said it. But at the same time, when we wake up in the morning and we realize God has chosen to put our neshamas into this world at this time, in this period, what message does that send to us? The message it sends to us is that Hashem has granted our neshamas and put into our neshamas, imbued us with some unique qualities, some unique characteristics that would allow us and enable us to be able to handle dealing with this. And so just one concrete message that I think everyone can take away already from the very beginning is, if we're going to be real with Ikvus et HaMashiach and try to get personal about it, try to take it to heart and, you know, start to discover, and there are going to be some very practical things that we can focus on as we move along. But if we're going to take it seriously, I think the very first thing we need to imbue within ourselves is that when the Mishnah says, and what will we have to rely on? Ein lanu al mi lehishayin elo al avinu shebashamayim. This generation, the neshamas that come down in this generation, will be imbued with a unique quality that maybe in previous generations was not as available as it is today, to be able to be nishan, to rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just turn to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No cheshbonus, just to be able to turn the whole thing and say, you know what? I know I can't solve this problem. I know that there's no way. I know there's no solution. And that's okay. And I know that the value system is crumbling from within our feet. And I know that there's ideas in the Torah that should be able to solve this problem, and I know that I don't know how. And I know that that's okay, because I can just turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which would have frustrated and derailed previous generations. It would have been something that they would not have been able to bear. These neshamas in this generation will be able to bear this. They will be able, imbued with the ability to be nishan on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way where you're not dealing directly with solving these problems, but you're putting it on Hashem and turning to Hashem. It's a unique way. It has not classically been the Jewish way. The Jewish people are very thorough, have traditionally been very thorough. You know, you open up, I always say, you open up books that were written by great Jewish scholars. There are so many volumes. How many volumes? You walk into a Beis Medrash, you walk in, there's just volumes and shelves and volumes and shelves of books on every single topic. How to break down this topic, how to deal with this topic, how to function, how to apply, how to clarify, every imaginable topic, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages, yeah? And now we're in a generation, and that was always the way that it was done. It was always discussion, clarification, writing, bringing down, teaching, applying, dealing with the problems at the foundation, solving them. Today, how many books are being written of that caliber, of that quality, that would parallel the Rashba's commentary on Shas, or the Mishnah Brura even the Mishnah Brura's writings 100 years ago on codifying halacha for his day, or, you know, the Rabbeinu Bechaye's commentary on Chumash, or the writings of the Chazon Ish and his... And there's nothing in our generation that even holds the slightest candle to dealing with the issues. The books that are being written today are very, you know, pale in comparison in their greatness to what was written then, and to how the process of dealing with issues was dealt with then. And the reason why is because in many ways there's nothing more to write. This generation, if you look at the process of the generations in a Torah sense. So you have starting with post the Greek Empire. Before that, you had the prophets, you had the Shoftim, you had the prophets, you had the kings, right? And then after that, eventually, when the kingdom, the line of kings was broken, and the Jewish people went into exile. So eventually, when they came back to Eretz Israel, they had the Sanhedrin, the Chachamim, you had the Tanoim, the Amoraim, the Gaonim, eventually the Rishonim, and now, starting already in probably around the 1400s, 1500s, is the period called the Achronim. They're already called the Achronim, meaning from 1500 already around, if you're talking about how to categorize the what grouping you're in terms of the chain of the Masorah of the Torah itself, we're in the period called the Achronim. There's nowhere else to go. After Achronim, the word Achronim means the last ones. We've already been in this situation where, you know, all we're doing now is just trying to bridge the distance between us and the Torah, giving more clarification, but not more, not dealing with things on the fundamental level. And the reason why is because what needed to be clarified, what needed to be codified, what needed to be explored and founded in Jewish thought and in halacha and all these things has been written. Of course, we'll still need, when a new technology comes out, we'll need the Chachmei Yisrael to help us know how to deal with it. And there are unique problems that do arise that, you know, need an Eitzah and here and there. But on a fundamental level, we are the Achronim. We're even the end of the Achronim, so to speak. And so, there's you know, at this point, we don't have more to write. What we need to do now is just to be Nishan al Avinu Shabashamayim. That's what's left. That's one aspect. Now, another aspect is that it's brought in the Or HaChaim has in a few places he talks about this concept when he writes about Yetzias Mitzrayim. very interesting. I think it's pretty famous, but a very interesting piece of Or HaChaim HaKadosh on the Chumash. He talks about how the Jewish people in Mitzrayim had gone down to the 49th level of Tumah, right? And had Hashem not taken us out of Mitzrayim when he did, so we would have sunk to the 50th level of Tumah and we would have been Nevad La'olam forever. We would have been lost completely. Now, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the reason why Hashem had to take us out of Mitzrayim before we hit the 50th level is because we didn't yet have Torah. Now that we have Torah, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Jewish people, and this is what will be in the end of days, the Jewish people will have to face the 50th level of Tumah, and they'll be able to get through it because they have the Torah now. That's an Or HaChaim HaKadosh over there in the Parshias of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, what would that mean? That would mean that that which would have destroyed any of the greatest of the previous generations, because we have the Torah and because we have the Koichas HaNeshama that we need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put us into the 50th level of Tumah. It's part of the plan. It's part of the order of creation is we will have to go through this. That's what's in store for us. That's what we're facing right now. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh goes further. He says, what is the 50th level of Tumah? He said, the 50th level of Tumah is Kfira V'minus, complete and utter upheaval, rejection on every level of all of the foundations. The very fact that God exists, which from time immemorial, even Ovdei Avodah Zorah, Chazal say, even the idol worshippers knew that God existed and that he had created the world. They just believed that he's way up there, he's doing God things. He set up this whole system of powers and forces because he wanted us to deal directly with them. But they never had the chutzpah to reject God's existence altogether. The Greek philosophers, still right with all of what they, Chazal say, the Yavan Zu Choshech, they still had a concept of a prime mover, a God that is there, who exists, who is moving and making the world go and be. Today, anyone who opens their eyes and sees just outside the little window of our own homes, right, and how if I would be that far out, you see that right out there is the belief that is so prevalent. It's so like a tsunami. What are you talking about? There's no God. There's nothing. This is just the elegance of nature just rolling and cradling itself into existence and, you know, cradling itself along in an elegant way, and here we are, you know. So it's complete hefkeris on the level of Amuna. That is the 50th level of Tumah. And everything that comes out, all the values, we mentioned earlier about the son will disgrace the father, and you know the whole breakdown of the chain of values and the system of values, the economy, the issues with the economy, questions of people who really do stand for truth and do stand for good will be disgraced and lowly in the eyes of people. All these things are really an outgrowth of this concept of the 50th level of Tumah. When you completely eradicate and take HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture, and there's nothing, not even a hakara at all, that he's there, I just don't have a relationship with him. Forget it, nothing. All of this is on the heels of that. All these breakdown of values, and you know, and I know that you know people who are living in wherever you are, certainly in America right now, there's a lot of these types of messages being constantly, we're being hit with these things all over the place. You know, what happened here and what happened there. These issues that are in the news every single day, you see this, the breakdown of values, the concept of the value of human life, anything that used to be taken as something that's so obvious and taken for granted as, of course, what are you talking about, is falling apart, is crumbling. And the Or HaChaim is saying that we can now face that because we have the Torah. So what is it in the Torah that has the antidote for this problem. Yeah, we're in the achronim. We're not meant to in this generation go now digging and clarifying within the Torah how can we establish that we know that God exists and all that. Although, you know, Da'al Amal HaShiv Lapi Karas is still an avoida for those who deal directly with, you know, Bali Tshuva and whatnot. But the thing that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is telling us is that once Klal Yisrael has been given the Torah, we have an immutable connection to Torah. It's Lamala Mitam V'das. It's beyond reason. It's beyond explanation. The Jewish people are being carried by the Torah. The Kedusha of the Torah and the Koyach of the Torah, even if there's only a miud of people who are still keeping it, is that which is our lifeline. It's that which is the thing that we have and that we need to be able to hold on to, that not through, again, the direct mechanics of how to solve these problems will do, but it's that which gives us the courage, the oiz. Torah is called Hashem oiz la'amayitain. Torah is the oiz, the courage to be able to say, and it doesn't have to make sense even. Happens to be that if you learn and you try to understand, you will see that it does make sense, but it doesn't even have to. Hashem oiz la'amayitain. There's a strength in the Torah. And the fact that the Jewish people have the Torah and carry the Torah gives us this strength. And it's this strength that we have and we hold that will help us to overcome the challenges of the Ikkus of the Mashiach, mainly. Now, we have about maybe 15, 20 more minutes. I'm probably planning on, you know, going over a few over the hour. But any questions still here? And then I have one more kind of thought that I'm going to do. And we'll take today, you know, for any of who are trying out for the day or whatever, there were a few people like that. You know, this is kind of an introduction to the topic. And what I'm going to be doing in the future sessions is kind of breaking down and going more lemaisa in some of the eitzas that Chazal tell us about how to deal with this time period. And you know, Ein lanu al mila hishayin el avinu shebishmayim was, of course, the essence of it all.
I have one question.
So, yes, yes.
Hi, Rav Kibel.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Baruch Hashem. Does this contradict the concept of Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim and that he was there for 17 years and that how the Slomer, the Nesiva Shalom, explains that was all done so that we could survive Gullus and that we wouldn't be, we wouldn't be so subdued in it that we couldn't get out of it. So it just sounds like, well, if that was all done, then would we have, like, question mark, would we really have ever gone to the 50th level? Like, it doesn't make sense. It seems contradictory. Because I thought that that's what the Avos did, that by going down to Mitzrayim was setting it up so that we would never be totally stuck there.
We're not totally stuck there, but this is what we have to deal with right now.
No, but Hashem had to go in and take us out before we got to the 50th level. Sounds almost like we would have ended up at the 50th level, and that's where I'm saying it sounds contradictory to the...
No, that's what the Haggadah, that's the whole Haggadah of Pesach. If you read the Haggadah from start to finish, at least the Magid part, you'll see in the entire section of Magid in the Haggadah, I'm not talking about the beginning, you know, Karpas, Yachatz, I'm saying the Haggadah part, the Magid, in its entirety is coming to answer this one question. V'hi she'omda l'aviseinu v'lanu. What is the he? The havtacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Avram Avinu. The reason why Hashem came was because he promised and took us out of Mitzrayim because he had promised to Avram Avinu that he wouldn't let that he would bring about this ultimate nation from his descendants, and therefore because he promised that to Avram Avinu, he had to take us out. But we need to know that we in Mitzrayim were not ra'ui. We were not ra'ui. And how Hashem did it and how he took us out, okay, there's some details there, but the point is that yes, we in our own right, would have fallen in Mitzrayim, right? We would not have made it out. And it was only because of the Haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that he took us out then.
Because of Avram, okay, so I guess, So I guess I just have
and
to get
you're talking about
brain.
A detail within that system. That's all I'm saying, is that the Haggadah is teaching us one fundamental concept, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that their descendants will be the Jewish people, and that the whole process of history, throughout it, they will be preserved, the Jewish people, but it's because of the promise that he made. V'hi sha'am d'l'avriseinu v'lanu. And in every generation, they come against us, and it's this promise that Hashem made that saves us, assuming that we're not zoche on our own.
So I guess that's the switch, because I thought it would be that we would be zoche on our own because Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, and he did what he had to do.
He certainly gave us he certainly built within the Jewish character and the soul the ability to. Right, and you know, I'll tell you more. I think I can tie together a little bit more to sweeten this point that I'm making to deal with your question, and that is this. If I told you about the Sefer, it's a kuntres really. It's about four chapters called Sipisu Yeshua. It was written by the Chafetz Chaim. So he says over there such an unbelievable. I'm going to lay out his thesis about how he deals with this process called Ikvas de Mashiach, and how he explains so clearly what's going on today. I can't even tell you. It's unbelievable. He was like, it's just mind-boggling. So he says like this. He says that Klal Yisrael has responsibility. We accepted upon ourselves. We're a nation. We said Nasa V'Nishma. That was Mechai of us. We have to do certain things. We can't get out of that. There's no way. You can't just taina oinis rachmana patre. What can we do? It just if any generation that didn't do what they were supposed to do, it just gets passed on to the next generation. Okay, so then now it's your turn to try. There's no such thing as Hashem dumbs it down and lowers the bar because, oh yeah, you Nebuch, you're such a low generation, so I'll, right? There's no such thing. Hashem may have unique rechmanis on a certain generation, but the point is that Klal Yisrael as a whole, through time and space, we all said Nasa V'Nishma. And Hashem is not going to lower the bar ever. He's never going to say, you know what? Okay, I see it. You know, the hour is late. We don't have time. You know, just put your shaitan on. Let's go. You know, it's not going to work like that. Hashem is not going to lower the bar. And so whatever needs to happen, al yaday the Jewish people, has to happen. There's simply no way. Now, what that amounts to is when you have residual buildup of remainder of shortcoming generation after generation after generation, you end up with a huge debt. And that is what we have to pay. And if we don't have the schuyos to pay, then we have to suffer. There's no question about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just the way it is. Yeah? Now, says the Chafetz Chaim, in previous generations, this is the chap of the Chafetz Chaim, such an unbelievable chap. In previous generations, the tsaris that were Hashem paying in pain and suffering for the remainder and residual of unrectified potential that we need to accomplish, the way of dealing with that was through tsar, yeah, and a kind of a consequence of just having to deal with the challenges and the residual koiches of tuma that are in the world that we're supposed to fix, but we're not, so we have to experience it in the form of tsar and overcome it. So in previous generations, when Hashem would allow that to come upon the Jews, they just said, you know what? It may be too schwer zu sein a yid, but they were mischazek, and they lived through it, and they remained Jewish. They remained connected, no matter how hard it was. They just kept on going, yeah. And so the gullus, the orich hagullus, the long, seemingly unending gullus of thousands of years that we've been in now, yeah. Hashem was able to accomplish bringing the world closer to Geula by bringing tremendous, tremendous, tremendous tsaris on Klal Yisrael. Why? Because he knew they would be oimed, he knew they would be able to stand up to it, and still be Jewish. What happened? at a certain point, a chulsha started to develop. And at that point, what happened? The reality of the world started to change, that when all these tzaras started coming on Klal Yisrael, people just said, you know what? If this is how God is going to treat the Jewish people, I don't want anything to do with it. Forget it. I'll go my own way. I don't need any of this. What? Who needs a God like this that just sits up there in heaven throwing down holocausts and pogroms of one generation after the next over and over and over again? Forget it. So says the Chafetz Chaim, at a certain point, there was a shift. And this shift of the ability to be able to be soivel and remain Jewish is what has caused a change in the gears, so that the geula is now coming closer and closer, and there's a little bit less of the tzaras of that goydel that there were then on the Jewish people, meaning, you know, holocausts and things like that are we're not in the same situation today as we were then, and the pogroms and all that what we lived through in Europe, we're not in the same situation today. So why is that? Why has it started to recede a little bit? So he says, because essentially now, right, people can't handle it. But he goes on. He says there's a contradiction, because in the Torah, if you read the Chumash and Sefer Dvarim, it says that in the end, Be'achris Hayamim, the Jewish people are going to do tshuva. That's what it says in the Chumash. In the Chumash, when you read Parshas Hazinu, it says in the end, the Jewish people will do tshuva. That's what it says. Mefurish Pasuk in Torah. However, in this Mishnah in Soita, and also in the Gemaras in Sanhedrin, it says that in the end, right, the Jewish people are going to be lost and turn away, and Torah tishtokach mi Yisrael, and, you know, there's going to be Torah Tzuras, and he says, how do you rectify that in the Chumash? It says the Jewish people will do tshuva, and in Chazal, it says that the whole Jewish people is going to fall apart. Yeah? So his solution is as follows. He says, both will be true. Half of the Jewish people, the word half is not a number half, but it means there's going to be a split in Klal Yisrael. In that generation, in that time period, there's going to be Jews who, even within whatever difficulties and challenges there will be, of which there will be, as we see, but they're going to be Nishan al Avinu Shebashamayim, and they're going to get greater and greater and greater, and they're going to be, he says over there, they're going to do tshuva, and they're going to be like the Shemesh v'Yareach, the Koichav v'Hashemayim. They're going to radiate and be these unbelievable lights in the world. And they're the tzaddikim. And they will be bringing the geula in a positive, direct way by doing Torah and mitzvahs and being Nishan al Avinu Shebashamayim. And they'll also have the Tainug HaNitzchi of having been an Oyved Hashem as well, meaning they'll be bringing the geula, and they'll also have the Olam Haba of the Nitzchius that goes along with having done Torah Mitzvahs, even in difficult and challenging times. And then he says, and the other half of Klal Yisrael, again, half is not a literal, because today it's a lot, the numbers don't work out to half, but the other Chalukah in Klal Yisrael are going to completely forsake the Torah. It's going to fall apart. They're just going to leave, want nothing to do with it. And says the Chafetz Chaim, this is a huge chiddush. He says, and those people will also be bringing the Mashiach directly by turning away from Torah. This is what the Chafetz Chaim writes, word for word. Yeah? How? Because when Hashem sees that because of the difficulties and challenges that are in the world now, Jews are leaving systematically in droves Torah and mitzvahs, he'll see that bringing the tzaras is no longer going to be soivel, they're not going to be soivel anymore, and therefore that approach can't work anymore. And so by them turning away, they're being forcing the hand of Hashem to change his policy and have rachmanis on the Jewish people, and they are bringing Mashiach. Because by turning away from Torah, Hashem is looking down in Shemayim and saying, I can't have this. Can't have that there's five Jews left on planet Earth who are keeping Torah and mitzvahs, and everyone else is turning away. I have to turn, I have to change the approach. It has to, and that's what pushes the gears towards the Geula. Now, says the Chafetz Chaim, if both the people who are turning into the stars and shining like these unbelievable lights, the tzaddikim, and the Jews who are forsaking Torah and just turning and becoming totally secular and forget it, what do I need him for, are both bringing Mashiach, so why would you choose to be one over the other? So it's obvious. He says, the reason why you would choose to be the tzaddik in this time is because then you have the benefit of having that relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu l'netzach netzachim. But the people who are turning away are no less forcing the hand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Mashiach. This is word for word what the Chafetz Chaim writes over there. And that's how he kind of brings together what we see in front of our own eyes, what's happening now in the world. There are people who are doing tshuva. There are people who are learning, who are growing, who are becoming these unbelievable people. Midos, Torah, just lights to the whole world. Unbelievable, believable people. Yeah? And at the same time, you have people who are so disconnected, they don't even know what analysis is, and they don't want anything to do with it. They you know, it's everything it says in this Mishnah and Saita. So, and both are bringing the Mashiach, and in the why we would choose to try to be the ones who overcome this and serve Hashem in the way that we're meant to in this time is because that is what's going to give us the greatest pleasure for Netzach Netzachim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a better chalik. It's a more choice portion to have as your portion in this world if you have to choose which of these two Mashiach gears that you want to push and drive in this generation. So this changes the perspective a lot. I personally feel, and I know that this is, you know, this Chafetz Chaim, first of all, is a huge eye-opener for a lot of people, but I personally feel that sometimes, you know, there was an old way back in Europe. There was an old way, if, you know, because of the reality of what it was like Jewishly to live in a shtetl, and you know, and have a little Jewish community in a shtetl that was kind of like isolated. So a Jew who basically left and assimilated, and in those days they would sit down on the floor and sit shiva and, you know, Gendik, as they say in Yiddish. Nothing, you know, nothing, that's it. Forget it. You're done. We have nothing to do with you. We wash our hands of you. Goodbye. In today's world, the way to look, in my opinion, based on this Chafetz Chaim, the way to look at the Jews who are lost and the ones who are even turning away today, right, is that on some level, they are responding to the reality of what Ikvus of the Mashiach is in a way which is no less driving the gears towards Mashiach. And so, of course, we don't want to encourage that. And of course, we don't want to drive that in any way. But when you kind of think what the Chafetz Chaim is saying is that that's the way it's going to be, more or less, it changes the way you look at it. First of all, of course, the Chafetz Chaim wrote another couple of Sfarim about how we need to get out there and do Kiruv, right? And try to get as many of the Jews over to this side as we possibly can for their sake. For their sake, because it's manavshach, right? Either one is bringing the Mashiach. But for them, Nebuch, it's better to be on this side for them, for their chelik. Of course that. And the Chafetz Chaim was very proactive about that point. But to change our perspective a little bit, and realize that we're still kind of looking at it, I think today in this generation, we're still looking in many ways at the Jews who are turning away or have turned away or never had any connection as somehow being enemies and working against the agenda, and we have to fight them and all this stuff and cut them off. Now, of course, if you're going to be mushpa, if you're going to be pulled down by your connection, that's something you have to measure out, and everything has to be worked out b'cheshbon. But as a general perspective, to look at the secular Jewish world with a different point of view, they're bringing the Mashiach. They're bringing their sheikh, no less than you and I. Yeah? But nebach on them. Nebach. They have no chelik. They have no hanah from it. They have no tainug nitzchi from their avoida. And it's such a loss for them. What a rachmanis. We should have pity on them and try as much as we can to be makarev, whoever we can, to be a tzaddik. Because for them, for their chelik. So, you know, for right now, again, just in summary, we're talking about the Ikkus of the Mashiach. We're talking about the concept of being connected to the time period you're in. We talked a little bit about some of the simanim. We established that we're definitely in it. And we started to talk about some of, you know, the main core of the solution is Ein lanu amin lehishayin ela alvinu shebashamayim. The Torah is what gives the Jewish people the oiz, should they choose to connect to that. The oiz to be able to go into even the 50th level of Tumah and be metaking that final level of residual Tumah, which amounts to just an unbelievable koyach of tsunami, of kfira that's just hitting everywhere, every aspect of our lives and the world around us. And at the end of the day, the gears are currently, according to the Chafetz Chaim, the gears are so deeply locked into this time period now that no matter which side you choose, you're just driving the creation towards the end right now, no matter what. But our chelik, for us and for anyone we know, we need to have a certain point of view of realizing that it's such an unbelievable opportunity, yeah, to gain our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most profound way. We're the final generations, we're the last ones. We're going to be giving an amida, a standing to the whole mission of the Jewish people throughout all of history. We're the ones who are going to be able to put the crown and say everything that the Jewish people has been dying for and living for thousands of years is all real. It's coming to fruition. It wasn't just a game. It wasn't just, oh, yeah, a religion, yeah, another religion. It was the whole process of the world and the purpose of the world was all tied up with it. And we'll be able to have an unbelievable chelik in that, Bez Hashem. So that's what I wanted to just give a little bit of an introduction today. And in the coming sessions, we'll start to break it down into, you know, some more lemaisa approaches to how to be this person who's Nishan Alavina Shebashamayim. Some of the other Eitzas, more detailed Eitzas, Esek and Tyra, Gemilas Chasadim, keeping, being Kol Ma'aneg as a Shabbos. So, right, Chazal say that anyone who's Ma'aneg the Shabbos, so they say he's saved from the Chevle Mashiach. It says that, right, another Eitzah is that in those days you're supposed to be Esek and Tyra, learning, more and more learning. Gemilas Chasadim, Adein Shir, because Gemilas Chasadim is the foundation of good values. It's the way. But all of it, in the end of the day, is not. We're not really solving the problems. We're just doing Ein Lanu Amin LeHishayin Ela Avinu Shebashamayim. And we'll start to go into how that works in more detail in the future sessions. Be'ezus Hashem. So any questions as we conclude for today? Okay, anyone who wants, feel free to send me emails, questions, whatever. I'm happy to follow up. Otherwise, we'll see everyone next week.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.